The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. The first time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And I'm going to get to that and the game last night, which is the Straight Talk's about the game last night. But I have to begin the show by talking about the fact that this is 9/11 today. This is the anniversary of the worst terrorist attack against the United States in our history. And I mentioned this on First Take today, that traumatic events, even cultural, societal traumatic events, they become a demarcation of time. And the fresh traumas kind of start to put them in the past, and new experiences put them in the past. And 9/11, of course, the kind of immediacy of it and the freshness of the wounds in our psyches, especially for those of us who lost loved ones. And I knew several people who died in the, one in particular who died in the Trade Center, but no one so close to me that it would change my life. But those kind of events are, even for those who suffer them personally, start to fade over time, the kind of feeling that you have about them. And that's a good thing, because who could live with that kind of pain and anguish, you know, freshly every day for the rest of their lives? It's not that time heals all wounds, but it helps. This year felt different to me, and I think it's because of the pandemic, which has is the latest crisis that is unlike anything else we've ever experienced. No one had ever experienced anything like the attack on the Trade Center. It was attacked in 96, but it wasn't knocked down. To see those towers come down and the loss of life, over 3,000 people on that day in the Trade Centers, was something, a trauma that we had never experienced before, so we were unprepared for as a society. And COVID, where, by the way, now it's over 50 times the number of American deaths as a result of COVID compared to 9/11, over 50 9/11s, 50. It's close to 60. Is this new next thing that we haven't ever dealt with before, that we have to kind of come to grips with, our national psyche has to come to grips with. And I want to talk about that for a second before we get into sports. The issue in 9/11 was Islamist antagonists, not Islamicist, by the way. Islamicist means you're studying the Muslim religion. Nothing wrong with an Islamicist. Islamist means you subscribe to a branch of militant Islam. And there's nothing wrong also with calling that out. It is fundamentally illiberal. And I want to talk about that for a second, because this relates to the game last night. When I say Western liberalism, I want to be very clear, because many don't seem to understand the concept. They hear liberal and they think, oh, we're talking about our own domestic political situation, a party, the Democratic Party, liberal versus conservative. That's not what it means. The definition of Western liberalism, we're talking about the ideas that formed this country and that are present in any thriving democracy. Western liberalism, the respect for the rule of law, for the freedom of speech, for what you think of as a thriving democracy, to our best ideals, that's Western liberalism. And we were attacked on that day by those who are illiberal, by those who were attacking directly those values. In fact, since then, especially in the last several years, most terrorist attacks taking place against this country are taking place or at the hands of extreme right-wing nationalists and fascists and white supremacists, who have carried out most of the terrorist attacks against this country. And they, too, are illiberal. And just as was the case with China and the NBA, where that seemed to be politicized, and China exerts great economic pressure around the world to silence free speech because so much business is done with China. Corporations don't want to mention, don't go against China because we have all this business with them. I was unafraid at the time to say, and we all should be able to say, hey, repressive communist governments are bad, unreservedly bad. I have no problem saying that. So I know it becomes a political issue with since then. For the NBA, for example, when the Bucks wouldn't come out and play after, you know, as a show of solidarity, you know, because of police brutality toward black people. And a lot of people who felt hostile toward that would go, where were you when you were when China was? I was right here saying, hey, on First Take, repressive communist governments are bad. Freedom is good. I was right here saying that, and I'm saying it again. Illiberalism, those who are illiberal, who attack our values, from the Islamists on 9/11 to the domestic terrorists since then, are bad. It is bad to be illiberal. Again, not the political party. I'm talking about the ideals of Western democracy that built this country in the best way. That's bad. That's what happened on 9/11. People who were intolerant and illiberal, who hated us and hated those values of the best ideals of Western liberalism. And that really brought our country together. And since then, especially in recent years, over the last several years, there's been a real illiberal tendency internally in this country that reflected, by the way, in white supremacist domestic terror attacks against the United States. Illiberal. Intolerant. Now, let me bring this around to last night. I understand the tendency for some to think, ugh, do I have to see a political statement in my football game? I don't want to see a political statement. Just play football. I understand that sentiment. I understand it. I do. All right, enough already. Let me just play. We're here for a sporting event. Of course, when the military was surreptitiously, was under the radar, let's put it that way, paying, you remember paid patriotism? And John McCain looked into this, the Republican senator and war hero, looked into this and investigated it and brought it to light. Paid patriotism. The military would pay major sports leagues to have these supposed patriotic ceremonies around military during sporting events. Now, did that seem like politics was being injected into your sports? Or no, that's okay because you support the military, right? Sure. Or when you stand for the national anthem, does that seem like injecting politics into your sports? Because it does. It is. No, that's just us all being American. Yes, but if kneeling for the anthem is speech, then so is standing for it. And why should an employee have to parrot their employer's political speech in order to have a job? Colin Kaepernick, he shouldn't. Now, let me again get back to last night. The players last night simply locked arms. You can't lock arms for social awareness without being booed? So, as I said, the most generous interpretation of the booers in the crowd is that, oh, come on, we don't want politics in our football. And I can understand why the politics of the national anthem or military celebrations are invisible to them. It doesn't feel like politics. It feels like the way it should be. But I'm here to tell you, in fact, that's also political. You just like that political message. And you don't like this one, maybe. That's the most generous interpretation. But let me give you a less generous one. And I think what I just said applies to some there. And I think what I'm about to say also applies to others. A less generous interpretation is what Ryan Clark brought up on First Take today. I thought very eloquently. When he said, if it's breast cancer awareness, people stand up and clap. Raising money for autism, people stand up and clap. But if you're locking arms for black people, you get boos. Well, how else can you really interpret that, at least for some of them there? And maybe for some people, motivation is multi-layered. Some of it is, oh, come on, just let... But even for the people who want to say, just let's get back to normal, what a largely African-American league is telling you right now is, yeah, I know this pandemic makes a lot of people want just to get back to normal. Normal was working for many of you. It wasn't working for us. It wasn't working for the community from which we come. So the reason I think of 9/11 today is obviously we're on the anniversary of it, but have we learned the lessons of it really? Is it to be strong and to have a military presence? Sure, sure. Strength is good. American strength can be a very good thing. But to me, the real lesson is to stand up for the best Western liberal values and to fight against and be aware of those illiberal, even among us, who would attack Western liberal values. So I would ask those who booed last night to examine yourselves and to see what you really see there. The terrorist attacks that have been taking place in recent years in this country have been from white supremacists, largely. And they are illiberal and against American values, just as the Islamists were, who also attacked us on that day. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Damian Woody joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Damian.
Max, how you doing, brother?
I was going to say, the right guy to come on for some heavy talk, but you lost 100 pounds recently.
I'm doing all right. Feeling even better.
You are. You're like Benjamin Button, man. I saw you on TV. You haven't been on the show for a little while. I saw you on. I was like, this dude just lost 10 years. Forget about 100 pounds. You got a year per 10.
I'm trying to get better with age, my man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're even putting up an old picture of you. You could fit two of you in that picture. Damian,
yeah,
I just talked.
We got to do something about that.
I just talked about at some length about the booing in the crowd last night. I haven't even gotten to the game yet. And following your Twitter feed and having talked to you in private and on the air for several years now, what impresses me about you is you are unafraid to tackle, it seems to me, any subject. And I've never heard you once utter anything stupid. And I include myself in this. If you talk enough about anything, you're going to say some stupid stuff. And yet I have yet to hear you say anything stupid, and yet you're unafraid to tackle any subject. Would you like to comment now, before we talk football, on the booing of the show of support for black people in the Chiefs-Texans game last night?
Well, Max, it's most definitely unfortunate that, you know, in a display of unity, that you would have individuals out there that would be booing something like that. And I think also what you saw last night with that incident, it was never about the flag. It was never about the flag. Everyone had talked about the flag and this and that. It was never about the flag, because that wasn't even happening when everybody was booing. So now it's like, okay, we can dispel that because it was never about that. Okay, so, you know, I was just listening before I came on. You were talking, you know, making comments about what Ryan Clark said on First Take. I think Ryan Clark hit it on the head.
Yeah,
I think
agree.
Ryan Clark absolutely hit it on the head. You know, we celebrate all these other issues in the National Football League, breast cancer, autism. You know, but when we talk about societal issues where, you know, we talk about, you know, a particular aspect of the community, you know, and I'm talking about the black community, you know, people have a problem with it. You know, my whole thing about the, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement and just our society, you know, in its totality, is I always bring up, we always talk about a more perfect union, right? We talk about, that's what we expound upon all the time, a more perfect union. Well, how can we have that if not everyone is, you know, not everyone is given that opportunity to have that? We should all be aspiring to that. You know, and this is not a black community issue. This is a human rights issue. You know, so listen, I'm loving what I'm seeing from the different, you know, sports leagues, you know, MLB, NBA, NFL. And for people out there that, you know, say, oh, I want to escape, you know, I want to escape all this quote unquote political stuff, which is not political. It's a human rights. It's a human rights issue. It's not political to have, you know, to want other people, you know, in our society to have better. Then I think people need to examine themselves. What are you escaping from? What exactly are you escaping from that you just have to watch sports to, you know, escape? Escape what?
How much do you think it is like the whole kind of shut up and dribble feeling, which is, okay, black people, you entertain us. That's what you're being paid for. Stay in that lane and entertain us. And in fact, many black players and their allies, you know, their coworkers in the NFL, their peers, their contemporaries, are saying, that's why they're all linking arms, are saying, well, wait a minute. Yeah, but I understand we're here to entertain, but we also have a platform here because obviously you like watching us. And, you know, our community is suffering. Our communities are suffering. And maybe now's a good time to have public demonstrations of this because for the first time in my lifetime, Damien, because of the pandemic, white people are like, well, wait a minute, this is not normal. This is, and I think much more receptive to messages from groups that are saying, yeah, I know it kind of stinks to have things so abnormal, right? That's how we've lived for generations now.
Well, here's the thing, Max. There's nothing normal about what's going on. So this whole notion of, you know, getting back to some normalcy, tell me how. Where? What's normal? We're in a pandemic. We have racial animus in our country. What's normal? There's nothing normal right now. You know, so like to me, like this whole thing is we need to be pushing the country forward. It's not, you know, when I talk to people and I try to explain it to them, it's not that, you know, people who are behind, you know, behind this issue. It's not that they don't love this country. It's actually the opposite. You love the country so much, you want better for the country. You know, yeah. That's the thing I try to tell people all the time. You know, with your kids, you discipline your kids, you want better for your kids because you love them. It's the same thing for the country. You love the country, you want it to live up to its values that it's been talking about for centuries now. That's, at the end of the day, that's what we all want. Live up to what the forefathers wrote out initially. If we're not doing that, then we are failing as a country.
Yeah, I mean,
and
increasingly,
that's what you're seeing.
Increasingly, what we see in our society is the majority are part of a multiracial coalition of people of goodwill, but there is a too large minority at this point of people who, it does not seem to me, actually have goodwill, do not want to be part of the multiracial coalition, though of course they are always invited in. Of course we want them in, but who seem opposed. It really seems like at this point a struggle for the soul of our country, those who want to turn back the clock to a time of greater inequity, social inequity, and those who want to go forward into an increasingly equitable, multiracial future. And that's, it seems, what we're dealing with. Damien, we spent most of our time talking about this. A lot of people listening now go, yeah, I want to hear about sports. Just like some of the people who are booing, some of the people who may just be benighted. Like they really don't have much of an opinion because they just showed up to a football game and they don't have time for the news because they're working hard and they want to watch football. What did you think of the football game itself?
First of all, I thought it was a very clean game. I mean, think about this, Max. The fact that you had no offseason, so that means no OTAs, no mini camps. The training camp is not the type of training camp that we've been accustomed to for years. And when I'm watching the game, I'm like, this is not a sloppy game. It's not filled with a bunch of penalties or anything like that. Yeah, guys missed tackles. That's what's going to happen in a game, you know, when you're not able to hit, you don't have preseason games. So it's going to, you know, tackles are going to be sloppy. But for the most part, the game actually was pretty clean. And then obviously from the Kansas City Chiefs perspective, I mean, they just got abundance of riches. Max, I mean, listen, Kansas City, we talk about how explosive they are offensively. They were losing the time of possession battle. Think about that. They were just so much better than everybody that they said, "The heck, we don't need to win time of possession to beat you. We're just too good, and we're too explosive, and we're going to outscore you." Now you bring in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who gave them another dimension running the football. You got to remember, Andy Reid doesn't like running the football. That's never been his forte. But now you got this young, dynamic running back who we haven't even – he wasn't even exploited in the passing game yet. But they gave the ball, what, he had like 20, 25 carries or something like that, 138 yards. They controlled the clock, controlled time of possession. If Kansas City can do that –
it's over.
Max, it's a wrap.
It's over before it starts. And by the way, Helaire, the whole thing was, the whole thing about him was the dynamism, the fact that he could be used in the passing game. I didn't think of him as a guy who's going to help you clock control, like time of possession stuff. I thought of him as, oh my God, another weapon. But you're right. They can beat you any way you want to play the game. It is going to be a problem in the NFL for the foreseeable future with this Kansas City team. Damian, I got like 30 seconds. Any chance for the Texans this year? Their defense did not look good. Of course, they were playing Kansas City. And look, they've gotten off to some slow starts in recent years. Last year, what, they start 1-3 or something like that through four games? But they don't have DeAndre Hopkins. Any chance for them to make the playoffs based on what you saw last night?
Well, yeah, listen, Max, I'm not going to write off the Houston Texans. Okay, it's early in the season, but clearly you saw, you know, not having a number one receiver. You know, it showed up. Showed up last night, you know, because DeAndre Hopkins was that default guy. Like, if I'm in trouble, if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm in trouble, boom, I can always go to DeAndre Hopkins because 9 times out of 10, he's open. So what you saw last night is there was that alpha that he could go to, and they just couldn't stay on the field. Defense got tired, and it was a wrap basically by halftime.
Yeah. The great Damian Woody, ladies and gentlemen. Damian, appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your thoughts about the disgraceful booing of the players by the Kansas City fans last night, and of course the analysis of the game, and I hope you come back soon.
Oh, Max, you know, any time to be on the show, brother.
Thank you, brother. Damian Woody dropped 100 pounds during a pandemic. Listen, when you're inside, it's hard to exercise with the wife's cooking and everything. Damian Woody's told me about that. I don't know how he did it, but congratulations. I think I took the 100 pounds. I tipped the scales fully dressed the other day at like 202. I was like Rocky from when he fought Hulk Hogan in Rocky III. Wasn't good.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance doesn't just bring you something. It presents it to you. Also brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Shell will bring it to you, and Progressive will present it to you. There it is. You heard about triplets in football. Who has the best triplets? Before the implosion of the Steelers, is it Roethlisberger and A.B. and Le'Veon Bell, or is it even of all time, right? Was it Peyton Manning with Marvin Harrison and Edgerrin James? Was it like, you know, you come up with your triplets. Back in the day, Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman. Who's the best triplets? Well, I don't know if this is the greatest triplets of all time. I think it's the greatest quadruplets ever. Like, let's include the tight end. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be impossible. They revamped their defense, which was a little better than given credit for a couple years ago, and made it into a Super Bowl caliber defense. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl. And it was a much improved defense. And the offense, I mean, my God. Don't forget, Patrick Mahomes had to come back from double-digit deficits in the fourth quarter of three consecutive playoff games to win the Super Bowl. Think about that. And he did it. So even if you have you have them down. By the way, my impulse is to say foot on your throat, but what's going on nowadays, I can't say that. I can't use the expression. Even if you have them down, you think you're going to put them away. Uh-uh, not this team. But what makes you think you're going to have them down even? Damian Woody brought it up in the last segment. They can play clock control now. with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But here's the thing about quadruplets. Tell me in the history of football a better one than this. Patrick Mahomes, who is the best I've ever seen already in his career. I'm not saying the greatest, most accomplished. He's the best. It used to be Aaron Rodgers for me. I know, like, Dan Marino was amazing, and you could point to some others. Peyton Manning, I don't mean the greatest. Joe Montana, Tom Brady. I mean, that's the best. That's the highest heights. Whether or not he sustained them, whether or not he's on a Super Bowl winning team, that guy at that position, that's the best. I thought it was Aaron Rodgers. I think it's now Patrick Mahomes. All time. The best I've seen. That's your quarterback, the most important position by far. How is your wideout? Tyreek Hill is the most explosive wideout in football. He's the fastest guy, and he's not just a special teams guy. He's a receiver. He's all world. How's your tight end, Travis Kelce? One of the two best in football. Completely elite. A++. How about the running back? Well, it was Kareem Hunt. Got himself into some trouble. Eventually off the team. And he was replaced, essentially, by Damian Williams, who was a good running back and a clutch running back. Damian Williams played well under pressure. But he was not talented the way Kareem Hunt was talented. And I felt at that time, well, man, you had these quadruplets. When has there ever been something like Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Kareem Hunt? And they blew it. At least Kareem Hunt did. Now they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That might be an improvement over not only Williams, but also Kareem Hunt. Oh, my God. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's supposed to be dynamic in the passing game. They didn't have to throw him the ball last night. 888, say ESPN. When has there been a better quadruplets than Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Tell me one. Well, he's only played one game. Yeah. How'd you like him at LSU? You know what occurs to me listening to Patrick Mahomes talk? He reminds me of a combination of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. I know I'm talking about a couple of Packers quarterbacks here. But Brett Favre, aw shucks, he's drawing it up, just playing, you know, plays in the dirt, and everyone loves to play with him and play for him, and he has this electric arm, even more electric, I think, than Aaron Rodgers, if not as accurate. But came across kind of as like a football meathead at times compared to Aaron Rodgers, who was really cerebral, but maybe a little bit too effete for some NFL players, and they found that kind of level of thoughtfulness about the game off-putting. It wasn't, you know, good old football talk enough for them. And Mahomes reminds me of both. He seems smart like Aaron Rodgers, especially the way he plays. Doesn't turn the ball over, can thread the needle like Rodgers, do it on the run like Rodgers, and his arm is electric like Favre's. I mean, Rodgers is electric too, but Favre even a little more. And also has that thing about him that you can see his teammates like. Whew, it's going to be a whole lotta with Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now, who I wanted to take in my DraftKings team, but Raj, of course, neglected to include Thursday players. Thanks, Raj. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, Raj, what do we
got? Quick. All right, here we go. No huddle offense. NFL's coming up Sunday. I'm excited. I can't wait. A couple question marks I got.
Hold on. Either say what? No doubt or say uh-huh. Nah, son. No doubt or nah, uh-huh. Son. Okay, I'm ready. Now go.
That day off yesterday helped you when you're. And I'm gonna let people know. Can I call the 1-800-SNITCH hotline?
Go ahead.
Real quick. So your internet goes down minutes prior to the radio show. First thing, you're all fine. Then magically and conveniently, 2 minutes after the show is over, oh, Raj, it works fine. You don't think that's a little weird? You know?
I'm sorry, my internet's starting to fade, Raj. I didn't hear you.
All right,
let's go.
Now I know. This is like the food poisoning excuse, right? Like, there's nothing you can do. I can always just say the Wi-Fi if I want a day off.
All right, fine. Cam Newton will win NFL Comeback Player of the Year.
No doubt. Cam is going to be very good this year. He's in a new system, it's true, but he has the greatest coach of all time by far in the NFL, in the history of the NFL. And if he's healthy, look, do people forget that when last seen, he was in Carolina, when he was healthy, the best he'd ever been as a passer? Now, I know he was in an offense that was helping him, but nevertheless, he is as good as he'd ever been until he got hurt that year. I expect him to be excellent.
Okay, fine. Hey, listen, we talked about Mahomes' weapons. We talked about that. We know Lamar Jackson does well, but you look at Dak's weapons, Dak has a chance to win NFL MVP this year.
He does. He has a chance because
that's
the weapons.
No doubt.
Damn, I'm bad at this game. No doubt. That's all. I'm just going to say no doubt.
All right.
Now, listen,
all right.
he has a lot of receivers. He's got a running back. His offensive line should still be above average. And by the way, the defense was struggling last year. But even there, they should be better. And that linebacking core, I don't think, should underperform the way it did last year. I'm going to say no doubt.
Okay. Real quick, I'm going to skip the Baker one. We did enough NFL. But it's a good idea that Lou Williams has trademarked Lemon Pepper Lou to try and recoup some of the $150,000 he missed out on thanks to the, you know, the a gentleman's club visit. Good idea. You like Lemon Pepper Lou?
No doubt. No doubt.
All no right. doubt.
Okay. No doubt. Of course, when I hear Lemon Pepper, I just think Rick Ross. I can't help it.
All right. And let's get this last one in before you get to your hard day. You tease this one. DeAndre Hopkins.
All right.
Grateful tweet after the Texans loss to the Chiefs was definitely shade towards the Texans. He was trolling them.
No doubt.
No
could
doubt.
Could you imagine early in the Montana Jerry Rice connection, San Francisco tells Joe Montana after the fact, look, I know you and Jerry Rice have something going here. He wanted to get paid. We think we can get some good value for him. We traded him. What? That's the dumbest thing in the world. Not only that, to take that contract, the David Johnson contract, you should get draft compensation for taking the contract. When you work out, and who had this? Someone had this on ESPN.com. I apologize for not identifying the person. It's escaping me now. But when you do the math, like what is value of this draft pick versus this, it was an awful trade, even on the kind of analytics. Forget about the obvious stuff for the Texans, and I think they're paying for it already. So there you have it. Speaking of analytics, Kirk Goldsberry, whose stuff I suggest you check out on ESPN.com, James Harden shot below, this is off Twitter, below 20% from the field for the eighth time in his playoff career. Okay, now listen to this. LeBron, KD, Kobe, and MJ have combined, all four of those combined, to do that twice in their playoff career. Eight times for Harden. Think about that for a second. Oof, it's not good. And then Zach Lowe has a more in-depth analysis keying off that stat. Has a long piece on it on ESPN.com. I suggest you check it out. But Harden, in 15 games with the Rockets facing elimination since 2013, he averages 26 points on 40% shooting, 41% shooting, 34% shooting from three. His assist-to-turnover ratio is not much better than 1-1. And they were a +7 altogether with him on those, you know, in those games. So that's good. It's okay. It's very good for most players. It's less than what Harden does during the regular season. In all playoff games in his time in Houston, 5 points, 5 minutes left, like crunch time. He's 38% from the field, 18% from three. And he has a below a 1-1 assist to turnover ratio. They're minus 19 in those minutes. And in super crunch time, score within 3 minutes left in the game, he's 34% from the field, 3 of 19 from deep, and his assist to turnover ratio is also 1-1. It's not good.